Some of the possibly just put a cover over the screen. Thank you. Just no, the one in front. One in front. No, the one in front. That's one. Just pull that over. Right there. Thank you very much. Well, what I did last time before I went away was to try and summarize the how we trace God's promise for salvation through from Genesis and takes us through to Abraham. And I wanted to focus again. I know we covered this in November, but I was concerned that some didn't understand it. Perhaps I wasn't as clear as I should have been. Some of you weren't here at all. It's a very important subject. So what I'd like to do, and over the next few weeks, God willing, and if that works for everybody, and I don't want anyone to feel it isn't working for them, so I will take some feedback, is to consider the covenant under three headings. Tonight, the covenant of grace made with Abraham. Then the covenant made with him for his natural offspring, and then their mutual relationship and dependence on one another. The purpose of looking at it like this is really to see that we need to look at promises given to Abraham in two ways. There is the spiritual, which we're going to look at tonight, and then there's the natural, which we'll look at, God willing, next time, provided we get through this material today. Well, there are four headings that we're going to look at tonight. And the first is the covenant of grace revealed to Abraham. Now, everyone knows that little ditty that the new is in the old concealed, the old is in the new revealed. Do you know that little saying? If you all know that. So here, we've got the covenant. The New Testament shows us how the covenant of grace was revealed to Abraham. Some people think that there was a different way to get to heaven in the Old Testament compared to the New Testament. This study will convince us that there's ever, only ever been one way. That every child of faith will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in heaven. And that's, we find that in Luke chapter 22. We looked at that, I think we saw that, looked at that on the Lord's Day. Well, we read Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9 and 16 to 17 earlier, so I'm not going to repeat that unless we need to just to repeat, to refresh our memory. It's plain that God revealed the covenant of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ to Abraham. In other words, he revealed how a man could be saved. The covenant of grace. It was a promise by God. It's called a covenant of grace because it's really a one-way covenant. We don't have to do anything. Everything has been done by Christ, and that was revealed as far back as Abraham. And one of the clearest scriptures to understand this is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Have a look at it, and I'm going to read it because it's absolutely key. It tells us, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You might think that seeing this, all nations shall be blessed, and it's a bit remote, you might think. Well, how is the gospel there? But Paul clearly states that in that phrase, "In thee shall all nations be blessed," is in fact the gospel, because it's in his seed, Jesus Christ, who had been promised, if you'll remember, back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, as the seed of the woman. And they won't have forgotten that. And so he knew that his seed was going to bless all nations. All nations would be blessed in the Messiah that would come from his seed, would come from his natural seed. In verse 17, the time of this covenant with Abraham is given precisely. It was 430 years before the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, which was given shortly after the children of Israel escaped out of Egypt. We find the law given on Mount Sinai in Genesis chapter 20. That was where the Ten Commandments were given, and that was shortly after they had left Egypt. It is said that from the giving of the first promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, which includes the promise, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That is, we're told, that is the gospel contained in that phrase.
Maybe a bit while
The night when the children of Israel left Egypt, it was 430 years old. I haven't calculated it. I'm relying on Nehemiah Cox. We note the following, that although the promise given to Abraham is not in Paul says it was in Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. And in fact, the term covenant is not mentioned in Genesis until Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, when the Lord says this: "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed shall I give this covenant. Sorry, unto thy seed shall I give this land. The river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." That's the first time the word covenant was used in Genesis. Second, the foundation of Israel's redemption from Egypt could be said to be rooted in this covenant. So when you see that Israel was rescued from Egypt, that was not just a sort of a random event. It was rooted in the promise given by God to Abraham. And of course, we know that must be the case because it is a picture of our salvation, isn't it? The redemption of the people of Israel from Egypt through the Red Sea, following the slaying of the firstborn of all of Pharaoh's families, or all of Egypt's families, and the wonderful Passover as a picture of Christ's death for sinners. And that's why we celebrate. We have a new Passover, don't we? The Passover in Christ's blood. And we celebrate with the Lord's Supper, in the Lord's Supper, with the bread and the wine. That is rooted in, comes from the Passover meal, which is a picture of our salvation. But its root doesn't it's not just there, sort of doesn't hang on its own. It comes back to the promise given to Abraham. Third, according to Moses' calculation in Exodus 12, verse 41, that verse says this: "And it came to pass at the end Over the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. This was the 15th day of the month Abib, which was the first month according to the Jewish religious calendar, on which day Israel, as a type of the church, obtained a type of redemption in the type of the Passover. Do I think that makes sense? So, when Israel obtained a sort of redemption, didn't it? It escaped. Israel escaped from Egypt. It was a sort of redemption because we have escaped. They escaped from Israel. Sorry, from Egypt. We escaped from the world. They would have been destroyed by Pharaoh. We would have been destroyed by the devil and sin. And so it's a picture of our salvation. By confirming the covenant of grace with his own blood, he consolidated the promises into an unchangeable covenant. That's what the Lord Jesus did. So that wonderful picture of salvation. Again, I don't know if any of you've been. Have any of you been to a Passover meal? I have. And the one thing I found utterly remarkable was how empty it was without Christ. And you just sit there, and yes, it's a wonderful historical lesson as well, a reminder of what happened. But they weren't seeing Christ in it. And so it was empty of all meaning because they hadn't rooted it in the covenant given to Abraham, which was consolidated, which was confirmed when Christ shed his blood on Calvary. That's the only way of understanding the Passover, isn't it? Any other way is empty. And I feel one feels so sorry for the Jewish, our Jewish friends. Our second heading. So our first heading, just remind us, was the covenant of grace revealed to Abraham. So we see in those words, in all that in those words. That in thee shall all the nations be blessed. That was the gospel according to Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. So that was the covenant of grace revealed to Abraham. So the gospel revealed to Abraham. Secondly, all spiritual blessings are included in the covenant. This is important. It's all important if we want to understand why believer's baptism is right and pedo baptism is wrong. Now, don't forget, we still love our brethren who baptize their babies. But if we want to understand the truth, which is right and which is wrong, this is the teaching of Scripture. The sum of all spiritual blessing was included in the promise given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, in the following words, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So the blessings of the new covenant were given to Abraham, not just for himself, because it says he would be a blessing. In other words, how was he going to get blessing? Because he would pass on those blessings to others. Thou shalt be a blessing. This blessing to others is more fully expressed in Genesis 22, verse 18, through his seed. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So he would, of course, pass that on to his children, and you find that same promise given to Isaac. Given to Jacob, their seeds would be blessed, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed in their seed, just as it was in Abraham's seed. So not only did he pass that blessing on, as it were, through his offspring, through Isaac, and then through Isaac's son Jacob, but he would have told them as well. This does not mean, though, that every individual in every nation would be blessed in Abraham. Although, of course, a blessing does come to nations by having Christians. We're salt and light. You can look at our own nation. The less Christians you have, less talk there is, then the more corrupt the culture becomes. But rather, this blessing would not be confined only to one nation to the exclusion of others, not just Israel, in other words. This was the gospel preached to Abraham, and they promise of the justification of the Gentile nations through faith. And Galatians 3, verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. The believer's interest in this blessing to Abraham included the promise of the Spirit, which was given to Abraham's seed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What was the promise of the Spirit? Well, John Gill points out this can't refer to the gift of the Spirit who brings regeneration. Why? Because you can't have faith before you have been born again. That is a crucial difference between the Reformed understanding and the Arminian understanding. The Arminian says that I can decide to believe in Christ myself. So for him, you could have, I believe in, you could say, for example, well, yes, I do believe in regeneration before I'm regenerated. But the Bible's clear that that isn't right. There's only a person who's had their eyes open, who's been brought from death to life. That's what regeneration is, isn't it? Only someone who's brought from death to life that can believe. Otherwise, you're left dead in trespasses and sins, incapable of faith. Faith is a gift. It doesn't come naturally to us. Although it's a sin not to have it. So, it can't be that we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith in the sense that the Spirit brings regeneration, so we believe in the regenerating work of the Spirit through faith before we believe that, before we've been regenerated, that's impossible. It could refer to the spirit of adoption, which is received by faith, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry Abba, Father. Alternatively, perhaps where I think I would tend to go would be it could refer to the spiritual promise, salvation through Christ. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise, can I add, promise of the Spirit, in other words, salvation through faith, because the promise of the Spirit is Christ, isn't it? Isn't that, that is his promise. That is what the Spirit brings to every believer. The promise of salvation through Christ Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent as our comforter. He was sent to continue the work of Christ, to take over the work of Christ in preaching the gospel through Christ's ministers, and the Holy Spirit applying truths of the gospel to our hearts. In the words of Nehemiah Cox, this promise of a believing seed, which would with him inherit the blessings of the covenant of grace, sins forgiven, blessings of the Spirit, and heaven as our inheritance, was further confirmed to Abraham a considerable time after this. Romans 4, verse 3, we have that scripture. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Romans 4, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Well, that's the quote, so shall thy seed be, from Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Note how that chapter begins. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." How many of us have read that verse and passed over it and thought, "It's a bit strange, didn't quite understand that." Get back to it. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. Who is the word of the Lord? It's not Bible, but I can't ask the question. If I did, I think your answer would be the word of the Lord. Jesus. Jesus is the word made flesh, isn't he? So when it says here, after these things, the word of the Lord Jesus came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield." Now, thy shield, think about that. Again, you should come to Bible Club, because last term we looked at the, what did we look at? We looked at the weapons of our warfare. We looked at the shield of faith. So the shield of faith, here we are. The Lord Jesus saying, "I am thy shield." Well, the faith is given to a believer, isn't it? So after these things, the word of the Lord Jesus came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Well, Christ is the reward for every believer, isn't he? I am the way, the truth, and the life. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So there is Christ revealing himself to Abraham. And remember what we read, what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8. I'm going from memory, so I can't, someone may have to look it up for me. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw my day and was glad. So Abraham saw Christ's day. He saw by faith what would happen. However many years it was, 2 to 4,000. If I haven't got the number of years in my head, you see, maybe 2,000 years. He saw into the future by faith, because Christ had appeared to him. He had heard the gospel. So that was our second heading. All spiritual blessings included in the covenant given to Abraham. All spiritual blessings. Nothing left out. Then third heading, this covenant was confirmed in Christ. Galatians tells us that the covenant made with Abraham was in and through Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, verse 17. That the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the promises given to Abraham were confirmed by Christ, who was the surety of the covenant. Maybe what's the surety mean? If you go to, if any of you, none of you will, none of this will happen to you, right? It might happen in the past, or certainly won't happen to you as Christians, unless you are prosecuted for being a Christian. Perhaps prosecuted by standing up and claiming Christ and then being arrested for hate speech or something. And the question is, should you give this person bail? Should you let that person out into back home? He might do a runner and go to Jamaica or somewhere else and not come back for trial. So sometimes you have to pay a surety, someone has to stand surety for you. In other words, they have to say, "Well, One way of it being assured, although that's not the way it works in this country, is all right, if he bunks off and takes plane to Jamaica, I'll go to prison on his behalf. But actually, the way it works in this country is you would pay, they set a surety price, and you have to pay that money if the person bunks, jumps his bail. But you can see how it could be that the person stands surety and he goes to prison on that person's behalf if they jump bail. Well, we cannot redeem ourselves, can we? So the Lord Jesus has stood surety for us. He's gone to, as it were, prison on our behalf. He has paid the penalty of our sins by dying on the cross. That's why he's called our surety. Some of these words you could just, your eyes glaze over, they're just theologians. But no, this is real. It happens in the real world. It happens for our salvation. Christ is the surety of a better testament. He has confirmed it. He's done it for us. He's secured it. He's secured our salvation himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 reminds us that all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea, and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. They're all realized in Christ. It is from the Lord Jesus that sinners obtain the blessings of the covenant, as we have seen in Galatians 3:17, which is argued from the previous verse, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. Paul tells us that that seed to whom the promises were made was Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. In other words, that there was a promise given that all the nations would be blessed in Abraham's seed. And the law which came along, with penalties for disobeying it, it wasn't as if God had decided to have changed his mind. No, salvation is now by keeping the law. It was not the reason. It could not disannul the promise that God had made to Abraham and his seed, that it should make the promise of none effect. No, what it showed is that Christ, he was the only one who could pay for the penalties of a broken law. So we've seen that the promises that relate to the spiritual seed and the spiritual blessings are sometimes given to Abraham, but have an immediate application to his natural seed, and temporal blessings being types of the spiritual. Well, temporal being types of the spiritual, I think. One obvious way that we can see that where the temporal is a type of the spiritual is actually circumcision. Circumcision, rather an unpleasant operation to a man, is a reminder to a man, to all of us, that there must be the circumcision, the outward circumcision, was a pointer, we know, for the need for the heart to be circumcised. So every male was carrying, as it were, the gospel on his body. As he looked, if he was to look at what had happened to him, and he was to apply what Moses said, to circumcise the heart, every time as he looked at the circumcised body, he would be reminded of where circumcision is really needed. So you can see that how the temporal, and there was a promise, there was a natural promise attached to circumcision, that was that you would be able to inherit the land, you'd be able to live with Israel. You can see that in that sign that he had on his body, there was a spiritual message as well as a promise that would be given to him, like a passport. I mean, circumcision was like a passport so that he could like your passport or my passport. You can't get into this country anymore by just bringing up someone in the foreign office and say, terrorist, sorry, Jones has left his passport behind. You have to go to the consulate and get another one. Well, in order to live in Israel, your passport, if you were a man, was on your body. But that passport on your body was a reminder to you of what you needed to get to heaven. You needed not a circumcised body, but a circumcised heart. So you were carrying the God around with you permanently. So you see that, do you see how we've got the crossover between the spiritual and the temporal? Yes, we'll have to put that on, please. The scope of Paul's teaching shows that the promises given to Abraham and his seed relate to the salvation of sinners, as verse 29 teaches. That's Galatians 3, verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It's interesting, isn't it? So seed is used in two ways, one for Christ and for Christ's seed. So those are who are in Christ are Abraham's seed. So the Christ is an umbrella, as it were, for all who are in Christ. They come under his umbrella. That's what it is, isn't it? To be in Christ is to inherit the promises of the seed which Christ secured on the cross. We should therefore be focusing on Christ alone as the foundation of Abraham's blessing when we consider the spiritual importance of these promises. However, we cannot conclude that the promise to Abraham's natural seed is one and the same as his promises to his spiritual seed. Rather, he argues from the carnal or the natural to the spiritual, as I've already illustrated with circumcision. But another way we've seen it is. And we, you may recall this, it was in a, I think it was when we were looking through John's Gospel, and also we may have covered it in Exodus chapter 12, verse 4 to 6. It was forbidden for the Passover lamb to for its leg for the breaking of a bone. In one house shall it be eaten, thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh of the Lord out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Should not break a bone of the Passover lamb. Why? It was a look forward. Please make sure you have muted. Somebody's unmuted who's talking. It'll be picked up on YouTube. Thank you. What does it mean? Well, there's a prophecy, isn't there, about not one bone of his body will be broken in the Psalms. And you have in John 19, verse 36, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. So you have a picture, you have in the Passover, you had you had that point forward, break, not a, why is it written like that? Because the Passover lamb was a picture of Christ. He was our Passover lamb. He's the lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So that's why Passover lamb couldn't have his bone broken, because the Passover lamb was a picture, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was prophesied of him that not one bone of his body would be broken, and it wasn't. So when the soldiers came to him to break his legs, he was already dead, so they didn't. Because God has said that his bones would not be broken, not one bone in his body would be broken. Well, let us consider the promise in Genesis 22, verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. This is a repetition of the promise made in Genesis 12, verse 3. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. At the time of Abraham's offering up of Isaac, this promise that in Abraham all the families of the earth will be blessed was repeated, and the covenant that had been made before in Genesis 12 confirmed. The offering up of Isaac prefigured, looked forward to, The death and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that in Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In other words, he received back Isaac as if he had been raised up from the dead, looking forward to Christ, who would be offered up by himself, the great high priest, offering the great high priestly sacrifice himself, and he would be received back to life at his resurrection. So we can see how Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac was looking ahead to the Lord Jesus Christ. When another instance where Abraham saw, rejoiced to see Christ's day, saw it and was glad. He saw it and was glad. John Gill went through the events when this was the case, when he saw Christ's day, and included the statement, he saw also the Christ and his day, his sufferings, death, and resurrection from the dead, in a figure, in the binding of Isaac, in the sacrifice of the ram, and in the receiving of Isaac as from. The promise that in Abraham's seed all the nations of the world will be blessed teaches us that the blessing is granted to them through their belonging to Christ, his promised seed by virtue of his sacrifice and offering of a sweet smelling savour that he would make in due time. Ephesians 5, verse 2, then walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. To remind us, Galatians 3, verse 16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seeds as of men, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ was the one who made the covenant sure. Someone might raise objection that the blessing was made to Abraham's seed and not to Christ's seed. However, we need to remember that all the promises made about the seed, namely Christ, in one respect may be said to be made to Abraham's seed in another, because the promises are originally established by the everlasting covenant of redemption that was between the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just think about that. There was a covenant outside time. It's called the covenant of redemption, whereby God the Father covenanted with his Son that he would send his Son, and the Son would agree to go into the world to pay for sinners, to pay for sin, and to rescue sinners. And the Holy Spirit would apply that redemption to God to make. So that was the covenant made between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit outside time. So it's already made before the covenant was given to Abraham. It was ratifying. So this was how it worked out in time. So that was already made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Consider the next verse in Galatians 3:17, which makes this point. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law could not make of none effect. Confirmed before by God in Christ. So there you are. You see, this covenant was made between God the Father and his Son. In any event, Isaiah 42, verse 6 says that Christ shall be given for a covenant of the people, to quote Nehemiah Cox. Therefore, a covenant is established in him and with him for all believers, who by union with him become that one seed of Abraham to whom the blessing of his covenant belongs. So in this sense, it is as strongly concludes the justification only by faith in Christ as in the other. So that covenant, we are Abraham's seed, but Abraham, who did Abraham believe? He believed in Christ. We believe in Christ as Abraham's seed as well. Finally, Abraham, a root of covenant blessings and parents to believers. Abraham, a root of covenant blessings, a foundation of covenant blessings, and parents to believers. This covenant with Abraham was the root of covenant blessings. And Abraham was the common parent of all true believers. Now, the Lord Jesus is the Prince of the covenant. Daniel 11, verse 22. So Christ is both the head, he's the Prince of the covenant, and the tail of the covenant, as it were. Because the covenant is with Abraham concerning his seed. Is that seed? Christ. Who is the Prince of the covenant? Not Abraham, Christ. Abraham himself obtained the grace or the benefit of this covenant, that salvation. He didn't obtain it by his own merit, same way as us. He obtained it by his seed, the same way that we obtained it, being Christ. And so he came into the covenant after the Son of God because Christ is the Prince of the covenant, comes first. Concerning ourselves, the covenant was first given, the promise was first given to Abraham. Our interest in the covenant arises because we are Abraham's children by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what makes us Abraham's children. Some of us may be able to trace our ancestry back to Abraham, but that doesn't make us children of Abraham by faith. It's because we believe in Christ. This is clear from Galatians 3:29, as we've already seen. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In other words, by believing in Christ, we are by definition Abraham's children. The covenant was a great honor for Abraham because from that time on, nobody would be taken into the covenant apart from his seed. And there were people, of course, before Abraham that were saved. And they can't, in that sense, they were not Abraham's seed in that way. And of course, they were the seed of Christ, but they weren't, as it were, Abraham came after them. It makes the point that actually Christ is the head, the Prince of the covenant, not Abraham. Because we know that, as our brother often reminds us, Enoch walked with God and God took him. Walked with God and God took him. Enoch lived before Abraham. Others, like Seth, Shem, lived before Abraham. Noah lived before Abraham. They were saved through that seed. Don't forget, the seed was not first promised to Abraham. It was promised to Eve in Genesis 3:15. But every believer after Abraham was son of Abraham. That was a great privilege to Abraham. In the New Testament, the spiritual seed is descended from Abraham. Abraham being the father of all who believe, Romans 4, verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a sign of the righteousness of the faith which he had not yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Remember that the only person for whom circumcision was a sign of their faith, a sign and the seal of their faith was Abraham because he believed before he was circumcised. He was the only person in history who did. And for whom circumcision is a sign and seal. Yes. Baptism is not a seal of anybody's faith. The Holy Spirit is us. Something we'll have to come on to another time. So salvation was now only through the seed of Abraham. Hence, paradise is described as a resting place in Abraham's bosom. We come across that, don't we, with Lazarus and the rich man. Furthermore, in Matthew 8, verse 11, all believers are said to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I said 4 points, I'd forgotten what was the fifth one. The way of salvation by faith in Christ in this covenant. Fifth, we come to the way of salvation within the covenant, which is by faith in Christ. Romans 4, verse 16 states that the way of salvation is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I'm just aware that if I keep going, I might have you like a sponge? Are you full of water? Yes. Shall we leave it there? And anyone has any questions? We'll come back. We'll start off. It's actually quite short, to be honest with you. But I think I'll come back to this time because I'm just a bit concerned that you've been listening to me for 45 minutes and it was quite a lot to take in. So we will stop there.